You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Thursday morning to take a look at what's been happening in the overnight trade and expectations for the trade at the CME Group in Chicago today. A couple of headline news, news items yesterday. There was a National Antibiotics in Livestock Summit, and a couple of items came from it. USDA issued a caution yesterday against counting on an effective vaccine to protect poultry against H5N2 and not risking U.S. export markets at the same time. So the vaccine in this case would cause the importers to not potentially want poultry from the United States. In the same moment, Iowa's Ag Secretary has said that his state still has a whole lot of work to do to deal with those 31 million birds that have died or been euthanized due to the H5N2 avian influenza. For their part, the pork industry leaders stressed yesterday that they're prepared to educate farmers and make changes in production practices that deal with the new FDA restrictions on antibiotic use for livestock growth. The national average basis for corn was unchanged overnight at 18 cents under the July futures contract, while for the DTN National Corn Index was also unchanged. Cash price now nationally, $3.41 a bushel. The national average basis for soybeans unchanged at 33 cents under the July futures contract, while the DTN National Soybean Index was down 5 cents. At $9.03 in Chicago at this hour, trade is about a nickel higher for the soybeans, up fractionally 0.75 cents for the corn. Wheat futures are up 3 to 4 cents. That in Chicago, livestock is all trading lower. Live cattle down around 22 cents. Feeder cattle are 55 lower, and the lean hogs are down 75. We'll take a more complete look at those numbers in just a bit. But let's now get an update of the weather forecast. That from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Concern is rising across parts of the southwestern corn belt over the frequency of rain and the possibility that some of the soybean crop may not get completely planted before dry weather returns to the region. The majority of the region we're most watching at the moment is southeastern Nebraska, northeast Kansas, and parts of northwestern Missouri. But as we move forward through the coming week, some of this wet bias is likely to become a little more widespread, and the concern over western corn belt conditions in general will be on the rise, but only those areas in the southwest are likely to be experiencing a high enough level of frequency in the rain and significance in the rain to cause this concern that perhaps we won't see the fieldwork completed as it should be before we get to mid-month. Now, the region needs several days of dry weather, and the forecast is offering rain on a daily basis through much of next week. And if the forecast verifies, those several days of drying wouldn't be completed until mid-month rolled around, and that gets to be too late for putting some soybeans in the ground without running the risk of damage at the end of the growing season. For the rest of the Midwest, the situation is not nearly so concerning. We do have very good conditions prevailing across a big part of the Midwest, and as long as that continues to be the case, crops are going to develop aggressively. Late season planting should wrap up in between the shower activity that's going to be occurring, and it looks as though the majority of the Midwest will see aggressive crop development take place as we move forward through this next 10-day to 2-week period. The temperature bias for the region will continue to be seasonably warm. No excessive temperatures, either too warm or too cold, are expected over this period of time. We are expecting daily highs to run mostly in the upper 70s through the lower 80s across a big part of the Midwest. There will be a slight bit of cooling that occurs on Saturday into Sunday morning, and that will likely bring temperatures down Saturday afternoon to perhaps the 70s in a larger portion of the Midwest, excepting Nebraska, Kansas, parts of Missouri, and areas near and south of the Ohio River, where temperatures will still be over 80 degrees. But as we go on back into Sunday afternoon and on through the first half of next week, those 80-degree temperatures will occur in many areas across the Midwest, primarily lower 80s, but every once in a while a middle 80-degree reading will be possible in the southwestern part of the Corn Belt. And our low temperatures at night over these next several days are going to run mostly in the upper 50s and 60s across the north and 60s to around 70 degrees in the south. We do not expect to see any serious threat by the temperatures, and I do think the temperatures will only be near 70 in the south there for just a few days in a row, and then we'll cool back down again. The only other areas of interest across the U.S. continue to be in hard red winter wheat country, where there is still a very large concern over the condition of wheat, and there is going to be an increase in rainfall returning to some of that region next week. In fact, Sunday through Tuesday will offer about 85% coverage in hard red winter wheat country. A follow-up system on Thursday of next week going into the following Saturday will likely bring additional moisture, and those two systems combined make it too wet for parts of the wheat out there and will likely suffer some further concerns over the quality and wet weather diseases possibly robbing some of the late crop of yield. Outside of that, though, most other areas in the southern plains, Texas and southern Oklahoma, continue to see some good drying conditions, and our neighbors to the southeast in Georgia and the Carolinas and Virginia will continue to see timely rains that will help to support the long-term outlook for summer crop development. Some of the soft wheat areas in the lower parts of the Midwest will be closely monitored for possible issues with harvest delays, but we don't expect that to be a serious concern outside of Missouri. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at Stewart-Peterson.com.
Let's check the numbers now as they're trading in Chicago at the CME Group. Futures in the corn pit for the day are just a bit higher now, a penny and a quarter, at $3.60 and a quarter in the July. December, $3.77 and three quarters, up 1 cent. July soybeans, 5 1/4 higher at $9.40 and a half. November's at $9.19 and a quarter, up 4 1/4 for the day. Bean meal is $2.60 higher. Bean oil is down 12 cents. Soft red winter wheat in the July at $5.15 and a half, 4 3/4 higher. The hard red up 4 1/4 at $5.33 and a half. Live cattle futures are down 20 cents at $152.30. Feeder cattle in the August at $221.55 or 35 cents lower. And June lean hogs for the day at $82.75 are down 80 cents. On the line with us to take a look at these numbers and talk about the expectations for the trade for the rest of the day is Ellen Dearden. She's at AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning to you, Ellen. Thanks for being with us. Can you tell me just a little bit about what you saw in the overnight trade and whether you think the bounce we had earlier in the week can continue at some time in the near future?
Bounce that we've seen on corn in this 360 area basis, the July corn, we did see some farmer selling, so that could pick up a little bit. There's a lot of corn that's yet to move. And so I think that may be kind of a troublesome area between 360 and 365 on the July, or on December at 377, 380, somewhere in there. There's a lot of talk that there's going to be a lot of this U.S. wheat crop that's not going to grade milling quality and will go into the feed mills. So I think we need to be aware that corn may struggle a little bit till we see how much of that wheat gets downgraded.
Well, we have indications next week from USDA and the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates how things may be changing at all. It's really early in the stages for RFS as ethanol usage or for the export market. Do you expect any different kind of news?
I really don't, Todd. I don't think the numbers have been worked in. The RFS numbers have been worked into these new supply-demand numbers. I think the question's going to be, what do they do with feed? As you pointed out earlier in the show, there's 31 million birds that have been affected with euthanization with this avian flu, and that takes some of these poultry houses offline for 4 months. So I think we need to be aware that maybe that mix on feed use is going to have to come down.
And, of course, we'll see that not only maybe next week and then again in the grain stocks, we'll get a better idea of how much it's actually come down, I suppose, once that's released June 30th and the acreage numbers are out then, too.
Yeah, the acreage numbers are going to be out. One of the things that I've been picking up is more increase in Milo acres coming into this Mid-South. We've been talking about corn acres that didn't get planted going into beans, but boys in that area are telling me that corn acres that didn't go in are going to go to Milo and not to soybeans.
Ellen, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. That's Ellen Dearden. She's with AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. Joins us here on WILL, WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It is 10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone.